Women's E-News, weekly summary of news about women, women's issues, and from women's perspectives. From the weekly Cheers and Jeers column of January 24, 2009. I'm Ana Maria Rogue. Starting with the good news, Cheers, new era for women in D.C. The new Congress, the Obama administration, and the Supreme Court delivered a wide range of victories for women and girls this week. On the new White House website, launched after Tuesday's inaugural ceremonies, the Obama administration listed a wide range of positions to strengthen women's rights and reproductive health. In his women's agenda, Obama expressed his support for Roe v. Wade, as well as strengthening domestic violence laws, supporting women-owned businesses and female veterans, and fighting general violence internationally, particularly in the Sudan. On Wednesday, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that a Massachusetts couple can sue school officials for violating gender discrimination law by failing to protect their daughter, a kindergartner, from sex harassment on a school bus, the Christian Science Monitor reported. The parents argued that the school did not protect their daughter from a third-grade boy who kept pulling up her dress, even though the school was obligated to provide a safe environment. On Thursday, the Senate passed the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act, a landmark pay equity bill that permits employees to file complaints against employers for pay discrimination after they become aware of it, not when it began. President Obama is expected to sign it next week. Congress began working on its companion bill, the Paycheck Fairness Act, on January 23rd, according to the National Organization of Women. On Friday, a day after the 36th anniversary of the Roe v. Wade court decision that legalized abortion, Obama signed an executive order reversing the Global Gag Rule, or the Mexico City policy, CBC reported. The policy banned foreign aid for international groups that provide abortions or abortion counseling and was first implemented by Ronald Reagan in 1984. Obama is also expected to restore U.S. funding to the United Nations Population Fund, which offers family planning services around the world, in the next federal budget. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration also cleared the way for the world's first study on human embryonic stem cell therapy, the BBC reported. The FDA decision is independent of White House control, but the Obama administration is not likely to mount an opposition to the agency's position, as was expected under Bush. More news to cheer this week. Iran's national poet and women's rights advocate Simin Behbahani received the Simone de Beauvoir Prize for Women's Freedom. Behbahani, referred to as the Lioness of Iran by Iranian intellectuals, planned to use the prize to encourage women's rights movements in her country. She is president of the Iranian Writers Association and was nominated for a Nobel Prize in 1997. Some scientists are marking the arrival of the self-declared science-friendly presidential administration by calling for greater focus on attracting women into science and retaining them once they're there, particularly in academia. Berkeley Law School professor Marianne Mason told the New York Times that she is calling on President Obama to sign an executive order and add more family leave and parental benefits to the recipients of federal grants, which include many research scientists. And now for the downside of news, Cheers, Taliban bombed schools. The Taliban bombed 5 schools in Pakistan's Swat Valley on January 19, 4 days after ordering the closure of all schools in the region, Agos France Press reported. Girls will no longer be able to attend formally co-educational schools. Although students are on winter holiday and schools were empty, the Taliban had threatened to kill any girl who attempted to attend after January 15, and warned that schools will be bombed. Pakistani officials estimated that 400 private schools are unlikely to open after the winter holidays. About 42% of Pakistani women are illiterate, but that drops to 31% for women in rural areas, such as Swat Valley. More news to cheer this week. In a December 18th interview with Monthly Review, Dr. Eshla Jad, a professor at the Women's Studies Institute in Palestine's West Bank, reported on the condition of women in Gaza following the Israeli bombing campaign. Palestinian women in Gaza are devastated by all measures, she said. Many women are seen digging through the rubble of their destroyed homes to look for their buried children. She said women in Gaza have struggled to access water, electricity, food, medicine, heat, fuel, and shelter since the fighting began on December 27th. As cesarean deliveries in the United States have risen, so has the rate of rare but severe complications in mothers, government research reported in the January edition of the Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology. A rise in the cesarean births may have contributed to the increase in kidney failure and respiratory distress syndrome. A demonstration planned to protest the treatment of divorced women in northern Nigeria was cancelled after a local Sharia police chief said it would be an embarrassment and un-Islamic, the BBC reported. Women's rights advocates said that wives in the state of Kano often lose their homes and custody of their children and end up destitute after a divorce. First Lady Michelle Obama was not pleased to learn that Thai Dolls shipped a limited supply of Sweet Sasha and Marvelous Malia dolls to retailers, Crane's Chicago Business reported. "We believe it is inappropriate to use young private citizens for marketing purposes," Obama's spokeswoman said. However, the company says the dolls are not connected to the Obama girls and that they just chose beautiful names. Also noted in the news this week, the underground sex industry in Jamaica is reporting recession-related losses in profits and clients, the Jamaica Cleaner News reported. Currently, opinion in Jamaica is divided on decriminalizing prostitution, with some health advocates calling for legalization in order to regulate the industry and address health and safety issues. Sex workers have reported that they are discounting their services in order to retain clientele. In Quebec, an alimony suit filed January 19th may expand the province definition of marriage. A plaintiff, whose identity is concealed by law, received $35,000 a month in child support and the couple's home, but says her former partner refused to marry her. She's seeking a $50 million settlement from his fortune by arguing that the law should recognize her full marital rights. A Long Island surgeon who donated a kidney to his estranged wife in June 2001 is now demanding the kidney back in a divorce settlement, the Newsday reported on January 14th. Dr. Michael Batista said he wants $1.5 million if the kidney is not returned, and claimed he gave the kidney to his wife, a nurse, to help repair their marriage. His wife said she ended their marriage because of her husband's violent conduct. These news briefs were compiled by Rebecca Harshbarger. Rita Henley Jensen is editor-in-chief. Background music is by Joan Hickey. This production of Women's E-News is brought to you by VP Foundation and Yin Radio. This column and more news about women can be found on the Women's E-News website, womensenews.org. For Yin Radio, I'm Anwar Ayarok.